This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We start the hour with one of my good friends of FS1. You can find him on First Things First. He's got the What's Right podcast. He is, of course, my good friend Nick Wright. Nick, what's up, bro?
What up, Ty? How are you doing? Thanks for having me on, brother.
I'm doing well. I want to do a little bit of an audible here to start the show. I'm watching this Suns-Wolves game right now. Suns up by one. And I want to know if you agree with me on this stance. The reason why Phoenix could make a deep run is the same reason why you could also see them getting bounced early in the playoffs. Their shot-making ability is so incredible, but they go cold and they're done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would simplify it even more. Any team with the 15 best players in the league is dangerous. Like Phoenix, absolutely could find itself in the conference finals and absolutely could lose this series in six games. I also, like, because they are so reliant on shot making and because, and I know you don't want to hear, you know, any type of crossword about your guy, Kevin Durant, but because Kevin Durant has, as he's gotten older, become somewhat allergic to physical defense, you feel, at least I feel like, they are not very likely at all to, you know, be able to play great for three or four straight series, but they can beat anybody. And, you know, Durant and Booker, when they are rolling, and we saw that in that one game in particular against Denver last year, they're as dangerous as any team in the league. I don't trust their coaching. I don't trust their depth. And I don't know that I trust the overall, the way the team was built. But, yeah, they're a dangerous team. It's also why, sorry to kind of filibuster here, but why Mike O'Down is one of the most meaningful games of the season. The Spurs beating the Nuggets in Game 81 and putting Denver on the Lakers and then either Minnesota or Phoenix's side of the bracket. I just think it's a brutal draw that they should have avoided and could have avoided.
All right, so you just mentioned the Lakers. We both kind of have a similar rooting interest. Mine is more in the organization. Yours is with LeBron, of course. But you somehow find yourself picking the Lakers to win this series, despite the fact that they've lost to Denver eight straight times, got swept last year. So I want to hear why you're picking them.
So to me, it's not that outrageous of a take. So as far as how good are the teams right now, post All-Star break, these are two of the arguably the two best teams in the Western Conference. Once the Lakers, basically February 1st, went to their current starting lineup, they have about as good a record as anybody. So it is not your typical two versus seven. But then it's really about the things that happened in last year's series, and do I think they're going to happen again? And I don't, like, not to the degree. So as a for instance, Jamal Murray, who's awesome in the playoffs and has always been awesome in the playoffs, even by his standards, had the best playoff series of his career by far. He was 32 points a game on insane efficiency. So I don't think that is something that is going to duplicate. Conversely, D'Angelo Russell has never been a good playoff performer. I understand that. But D'Angelo Russell had the worst playoff performance of his career by far. He was 6 points a game on 13% from three. So do I think that Jamal Murray is going to outscore D'Angelo Russell by 26 points a game? No, I don't. All right, then there's the LeBron factor. LeBron last year in this series was brutal in the fourth quarters and was in the midst of the worst shooting slump of his career. Well, how's that different this year? This year, LeBron leads the NBA in fourth quarter scoring, and on top of that, is having the best shooting year of his career. So are those couple things enough to change, you know, the outcome by 2 or 3 points per game? And then I remind you that game one, despite Jokic having what Jeff Van Gundy called the greatest first half he'd ever seen in a finals game.
That
game was a 3-point game with the ball in the lake in LeBron's hands with 45 seconds left. Game two, despite Jamal Murray having 23 fourth quarter points and Russell being totally unplayable was a two-point game with a minute left. Game three was tied with 6 minutes left, and game four came down to the final shot. So I just think this is a very close series. And I also am very interested in, and then there's one other thing that is, I guess, you know, two other things, pardon me, and then we can move on to the Knicks or whatever you want. Bruce Brown was huge. He's gone. So he was a, you know, this is not a deep Nuggets team. It's the best starting five in the West, but it's not deep. And so that factor of it. And then just because he's a human being, what is Michael Porter Jr.'s mentality right now? I mean, it's one thing's tragic and one thing's idiotic, but he has two brothers, one of whom just got sentenced to prison yesterday, you know, in a tragic DUI situation. And the other is in the midst of, you know, the NBA's biggest scandal in a decade. So all of those things to me lead to a very close series. And in a close series, I'll take a healthy, rested LeBron James.
I guess my counter to that, if I'm hosting Sports Talk in Denver, is, you know, you just outline, you know, certain things that could go different directions. Is Anthony Davis going to average 27-14 on 50-50 and 87 splits with damn near three blocks a game? Is that going to duplicate
itself? Oh, my goodness. So sorry. My doorbell rang and my dog's freaking out. No, that's totally fair. And the other thing is Austin Reeves' production probably comes down a touch. So that, you know what I mean? So, no, that those are legitimate arguments. But I guess the distinction I would make is, hold on, I have a delivery coming to the door. Hi.
How you doing, bro?
Good. Thank you so much.
What'd you order?
Nice to meet you. Have a nice day. Thank you so much.
What'd you
actually,
order?
Actually, I didn't order anything. I wouldn't have done that during your show. But a mutual friend, Adam Lefko, just sent me, let me see. He called it, you know, I just had a vow renewal that he wasn't able to go to. So he sent me a gift. He sent me a bottle of 1942. So that's
there you
what
go.
He did.
That's cool.
And so, even though I specifically said no gifts, but you and your wife didn't listen to that. And I have a story that I think will warm your heart about that at some point. I can tell that on or off the air. But no, you make a fair point about that in regards to things that won't go the Lakers' way. And maybe I am being a little too optimistic. Now, I want to make this also clear. I think it's more than on the board that the Lakers win this series and then get bounced in the next round. I don't think LeBron's got four great rounds in him. I think he's too old. But I think they can win the series.
All right. Before we even get to the Knicks, Luka's your guy. I mean, where do you go? 33-9-9 this regular season. That stat line has never been done before. I borrowed this nugget from you earlier in the show. MJ, Harden, Kobe, that's the list of guys in modern NBA history who finished the season with higher points per game than Luka did this year, and he did it along with, as I mentioned, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. But you know, at some point, he's got to make some noise in the playoffs. I get he had the 1 year that got to the conference finals against
well,
the Warriors.
Well, yeah, I mean that at some point he's got to make some noise in the playoffs, I think it's a little unfair. Like, rookie year missed the playoffs, fine. Everybody does as a rookie, basically, if they're the lead guy. Year two was phenomenal in a first-round six-game series against the Clippers, a Clippers team that at the time was the favorites to win the title and a team that was, you know, set up to defend him better than anyone with a healthy Kawhi and healthy Paul George. The next year, played the Clippers again, was even better. It went seven games. His second-best guy gets hurt, and he still is phenomenal in that series. The next year, they're underdogs in every series they play. They go to the conference finals. So, like, he's never –
Then they missed the playoffs last year. And then they missed the playoffs last year.
Right, that's the one knock on him. That's legit. But that wasn't a lack of playoff performance. That was a bad regular season. My point is, in the postseason, Luka has been the underdog all five series he's played. And all he's done is average more points per game in the playoffs than every player in NBA history not named Michael Jordan. I think the guy's a postseason killer. And also, you know, I didn't say this on the show because for somehow it didn't come up, but I'll say it right now. I think the Mavs are going to the finals.
Ooh.
And so I think the Mavs are the team to beat in the Western Conference.
All right, so now let's shift our gears and our focus to the East. You've got the Knicks and the Sixers. Game one coming up at 6 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. So not only are you picking the Sixers, but I heard you say that you're more confident watching them, or you're more confident in them after watching them in that game against the Heat?
No, I'm not more confident in Philly. I don't know how anyone can be more confident after the Miami game. I don't know how anyone can be more confident in Philly's, when Joel Embiid kind of like bends his knees on a free throw to kind of like put fake English on it, and then his knee buckles. Like, all of that is legitimate concern. I can't get over is they've played 40 games with Joel Embiid this year, and they're 32-8. That this is a team that is a 65-win team when he plays, and even when he's come back from injury and hasn't looked like, you know, healthy Joel Embiid, he still has this massive impact on the game. And even in that Miami game, when I did not think he was healthy or playing well, he still scored a dozen fourth quarter points and won them the game. And so this is not, trying to be disrespectful to the Knicks or undersell what Jalen Brunson has done. I don't have an MVP ballot, but I do a fake one anyway. I had him on it. I kind of split the baby there. I had Tatum first-team All-NBA, Brunson second-team, but I had Brunson on the MVP ballot. I think he's been phenomenal. I just, as a general rule, worry a bit about Tibbs' teams in the playoffs. Do they have a playoff gear? Because he gets them to play so hard. And I think the overall talent of Philly is higher than the overall talent of the Knicks.
You think Brunson can be the best player on the championship team?
No. I would say theoretically, like the very specific Chauncey Billups mold, right? Where like if you have the perfect team built around him, I suppose. But in general, no. Let me tell you this much. I've said for a while, I don't know that Jason Tatum can be. Tatum right now is the best player on a favorite, but that team is, kind of my point. Like, he is set up to, that team is built perfectly and has so much depth. I think to be the best player on a championship team, what NBA history tells us is, unless you have the perfect team built around you, you've got to be basically one of the 25 greatest players ever. Yeah. So, like, that's the thing when – I forget who it was. It was – gosh darn it. It was a woman who works for ESPN. Was it Doris? Becky Hammon. That's Becky right. Hammon. Sorry, that was a little sexist of me. I didn't mean to. It just is how I remember
conversation. We understood what you
were saying. He's too little – fact of the matter, and everyone's like, oh my God, you don't know ball. And there was some, like, even ESPN friendly fire. She's not wrong. Like, all of NBA history, I won't even, let's just do the last 50 years of the NBA. Guys shorter than 6'6 who were the clear cut best player on a champion. Not shorter than 6'4", not shorter than 6'2", shorter than 6'6". Steph and Isaiah, that's the list. That's the list. Like, it is. And so, now, Chauncey won finals MVP. I don't think he was the best player on that team. People can say, yeah, Derrick Rose could have. I don't think he could have. And so it's just, I think that if Jalen Brunson's going to be your best player, you want to win a title, you have to have a perfectly built team and have things break kind of right. If he is your co-best player or your second-best player, you can absolutely be a great, great team and win a title.
All right, Nick Wright here. I got two quick ones before we get you out of here. I want to hear your story, first of all. But before we get there, you do this on purpose. I know you do this purposely. I know Jet fans are going to get mad at me, but I got to be honest. Breece Hall is fine. All right, so just quickly, the draft is next week. So he's running away. 2 years ago, he's running away with the Rookie of the Year, and then he gets hurt. Last year, comes back off the injury, takes some time, but finishes the year strong. So now you look at his resume, and it's like, what, 24 games, 9 touchdowns, 5 yards a carry behind a bad offensive line with no quarterback. And that's the player you say is just fine?
No, so here's the thing. First of all, Breece Hall, this is where Jet fans, I think, are a little, you know, myopic. A guy who played 7 games, running away with any rookie of the year. He was one of the leading contenders. This was not Carson Wentz has the MVP locked up and then broke his leg in week 13 or 14. That is not what it is. He played 6.5 games as a rookie and had a very nice – okay, so that's first of all. Second of all, this is who what was the team? Oh, Steelers fans. And I'm not comparing Breece Hall to this player. But I said on the show, every team has a Jalen Warren. And Steelers fans were like, are you kidding me? You don't know ball. And I said, listen, if you don't have a nice change of pace back whose yards per carry looks good because of the situations that he's used in, then what the hell is your team doing? It's the easiest commodity to find in the league. So I'm not comparing him to Jalen Warren at all. My point is, I think sometimes fans of teams, particularly fans of teams that have not had a lot of offensive success, slightly overrate how great their actual guys are. And Breece Hall is a good running back. Might be. Top 5, maybe. Is firmly in the top 10.
I know, but you said just
Jet fans happy. Like, what do people want me to say? Like your only goal of week set last year, he was fully healthy for a team that couldn't throw the ball, and it's still they were like, you know what? Our one goal of week 18 is to get him to 1,000 yards, which again, if we want to do the math on that, it's a 17-game season. 1,000 yards is less than 60 yards a game, right? It's 59 yards for him. And they ran him 37 times for a buck 80, and he missed it because in addition to being a bad coach, Robert Saleh can't do basic arithmetic, evidently. You guys want me to a player who I think, again, I like Breece Hall, and he's a very good player. But going into the final game of the year, he had played all 16 games, and he had 815 rushing yards.
With four touchdowns, but with bad quarterback play. But it's cool,
yeah.
Man.
And by the way, and the good receiving threat, he's good. But this is the same thing that people got mad at me last year on when I wasn't willing to say definitively Garrett Wilson's a top 10 receiver. And the problem is, once you start naming them, you realize there are 10 guys who are somewhere in spots 6 through 15, which means somebody who thinks they have a clear-cut top 10 receiver actually has the 15th best receiver in football, which means they have a league-average number one. Just a tough spot. And so, yeah, I mean – I'm not going to apologize about being right about the Jets last year, and I'm not going to apologize about being right about the Jets this year.
We'll see what happens. All right, so lay the story on me. What happened? You said it's a heartwarming story.
Well, all right, so let me just give a little context here to the audience. So my wife and I have been married 11 years. We didn't have a wedding. We got married in Reno. No one was there, and she always wanted a big wedding. We were going to do it on our 5-year anniversary, but then the reason we didn't have the wedding was because we had just moved to Houston, didn't have any money. Then on our 5-year anniversary, we had just moved to New York. Then our 10-year anniversary, our daughter was graduating high school, so we did it on our 11-year, and it was called a vow renewal, but Ty, you were there. It had all the pomp and circumstance of a regular wedding.
Absolutely.
A lot of people there, a whole thing, right? But because people had to travel to Kansas City for it, and it wasn't a real wedding, and I'm damn near 40, and I make a good living, I was very clear, like, do not give gifts. So Ty and his wife not only give a gift, but give, I think, we didn't receive many gifts because most people listen, And I think Ty and his wife gave the most generous gift we received, which made me feel terribly. And so the day after the wedding, or 2 days after, I'm not sure what, we went to the church that my wife used to go to shortly after she had Deora. And that was my, I don't need to be too personal here, but my wife was, you know, working multiple jobs, supporting two kids with no help. And this church was very helpful. And so your wedding gift to us was a donation to that church, buddy. We walked in, we gave it to them, and they, you should have, this Baptist church in Kansas City, I won't say the name of it, these people there, the lady who, the same lady who helped my wife out, she was able to walk in and give it to her, and it was a great moment, and it was thanks to you guys. So
wow, that's awesome, man. And I'm a church dude myself, so that's pretty awesome, man.
I knew that. That's what I knew you were, and so I thought, you know what, this makes me feel a little bit better about the situation. So
that's cool, man. I can't wait to tell her that story. That's gonna be fun. We had a great time last weekend, man. Maybe we should do that more often.
We should all hang out more often. I don't know, you know what I mean, about me throwing, you know, a 200 person party in Kansas City more often, but it was a great time. I'm really glad to be there. I'm glad you guys came. The way, I hope I'm wrong about the Knicks Sixers. I do. Oh, and can I give a little heads up thing that I've been telling my Knicks fan friends?
What's that?
That I don't just, and then we can go. Tickets at the Garden are so exorbitant. I honestly think if you're a Knicks fan and you really want to go to one of these games, and you either can't justify the money or, what you can justify, you're going to have terrible seats. I think it'd be worthwhile taking the $30 train ride to Philly and going there. I like that is way cheaper. That stadium is, you know, shares a parking lot where the Eagles would play and a casino. You know what I mean? Like, there's a hotel, casino. I spent a lot of time in Philly. And the tickets are so much cheaper. So just Knicks fans, if you're trying to go to a game, but MSG is exorbitant, that's not a bad option.
Are you going to any of these games here?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going tonight. One of the bridesmaids actually is singing the national anthem, Danielle Truitt from Law and Order. She's singing the national anthem, and we could have gone, but I can't risk missing the beginning of the Lakers game.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to go. I might go to game two. I'm definitely going to go to one of game three or four in Philly, and then we'll see how long the series goes. But I'll go to a few games.
All right, cool. I'll hit you. I know you got to get to the big Royals-Orioles game coming up here, so I don't want to keep you too long.
Buddy! Oh, I don't know if you – by the way, I was watching the Yankee game. I know you're going to laugh at me and not believe me because I'm not a baseball guy, except I'm a baseball guy when the Royals are good. I don't know if you've checked your standings lately.
They're pretty good.
League leader in run differential, one game out of first place in all of baseball, only a half game back of the Yankees now. I'm sweating the Twins game right next to the Suns Timberwolves game right now because, yeah, man, when the boys in blue are back, man, I'm a baseball fan. This MJ Melendez character is awesome for the Royals. Let's go.
When we get you leading the charge with run differential, that's how I know, man. We've really lost it.
They got the second best record in all of baseball. But I'm saying it's not fluky. They got the best run differential in the sport and the second best record. Royals are legit, man. I'm sorry that the Royals over the last, 10 years have been a more successful franchise than the Yankees. That's not my fault, buddy.
I'll catch that on Weird and Wonderful, my friend. I appreciate you. You know, we'll be texting tonight during the game.
I'll talk to you later.
Love you, bro.
You too.
That's Nick Wright. Check him out on First Things First, What's Right podcast. We went a little long there, so let's do a little clock correction. Had some fun with my boy. 800-919-3776. Back to your phone calls. We're going till 5:30 right here in 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And I was hoping Chantel had listened to it so we would get a chance to talk about it. But of course, you know, she's not all in on the show the way she says she is. That's a dereliction of duty on your part, Chantel. You know that was going to be a big topic today.
No, I didn't even know that Drake dropped any music. I had no idea.
Last night, my phone's, you know, semi-blowing up. You got the group chats going crazy about Drake dropping his record close to midnight. So listen to that. And apparently Kanye's on the Like That remix with Future and Metro Boomin, and he's going at Drake and J. Cole. So hip hop is cranking up right now. They want static. Everybody wants static. Speaking of wanting static, how about this pickleball showdown? Easily the most anticipated sporting event of the year. Not the Masters, not the Super Bowl, not the NBA Finals, not the Stanley Cup Finals that hopefully has the Rangers involved in it. Not any of that. Not the World Series. It's the pickleball showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Amani Toomer. That takes place Sunday, May 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pregame coverage kicks off on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. with a live broadcast hosted by the one and only Anita Marks as she sets the stage. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the pickleball showdown for the ages. Be there May 5th. Sunday, May 5th, to witness this showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut, between Team DiPietro and Team Rothenberg. All right, Chantel, who are you picking to win this pickleball showdown?
I'm going to go for Anita's team just because I know Anita. And
she's very
competitive. She's not only is she competitive, but she is an athlete to mm-hmm. her core. So, and she practices pickleball like a lot. So I'm going with Anita all day.
All right, Julian, who you got in this one?
I would probably have to side with Anita as well. Like, I think she edges out DiPietro and Rothenberg by a bit.
If we just go based on like trash talk and confidence, it sounds like, you know, Team Anita Marks and Amani Toomer should get the W. Rick and Dave are my guys. Shout out to them, DiPietro and Rothenberg, every morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. They do a fabulous job. You know, big up RJ, Ray Santiago as well. I just fit, like, for me, like, not having a quote-unquote dog in the fight, because I like all four of them, I'll go for, like, what presents us with the highest level of entertainment value, and I think it would absolutely be if Anita and Amani beat Rick and Dave. Because, you know, Anita is going to be boastful. She is not going to be, you know, humble in her victory. So she's going to be going at it with Rick and Dave all over her show. And then Rick and Dave, after, I guess, months and months of preparation and on air, like, boasting about winning this game, got to be smacked in the face with humility. And you know everyone's going to give it to him. So I'm rooting. Dave and Rick are my guys. 100 grand. We all know that. But I'm rooting for Anita and Amani to win this just because I think it gives us apex level entertainment. And that's what I'm all about. And speaking of entertainment, how about the second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party? It's coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. So that's a busy week for Dave and Rick. They've got the pregame party at Citi Field on Thursday, May 2nd, followed by the pickleball matchup. But come out and see this live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from Manhasset Station on the Long Island the LIRR, where after the show, come on, who writes these things? The crew will take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. Mets have been red hot, by the way, 11-3 since that 0-5 start. I got to check on them. They're playing the Dodgers right now, looking to take that series in L.A., so we'll keep tabs on what's happening out in L.A. between the Mets and the Dodgers. 1-1 is the score right now, but the Dodgers have the bases loaded. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd, brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Come as you are, and by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please zing zang responsibly. 800-919-3776. We'll take a quick break, come back, get back to your Knicks phone calls. You got the Rangers coming up tomorrow. Oh, what a weekend it is here in New York City, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's do it up. Gordon in Huntington. What's up, Gordon?
Hey, Ty. What's up, man?
What's up, bro?
Yeah, man. I like your show, man. Nice show. And you're a very fair and balanced guy, you know?
Thank you, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, man. My question is, what do you think about Thibodeau? You think you should give Shane Milton some minutes? I know he got limited minutes for guys, you know?
No, I'm not a big fan of, like, changing, like, wholesale changes once you get into the playoffs after watching what's worked all throughout the regular season. And Shane Milton is not that good of a basketball player.
But you don't want to overburn certain guys out. So, you know, like a couple of minutes in between, like I'm saying, you know, like I'm just saying.
It's go time, Gordon. I appreciate the call. I understand you don't want to run Brunson and DiVincenzo and all these McBride into the ground. It's go time, man. It's the postseason. You got a lot of days off in the first round between games. And as you progress to the playoffs, you know, conference finals, those days off start to decrease. But, nah, man, you don't make wholesale changes to your rotation once you get to where you've gotten. And that's the number two seed hosting a first-round playoff series. Javier's in Queens. What's up, Javier?
Time, my man. What's going on?
What's up? What's up, bro? What's going on?
You know, chilling. Very excited about this game today. You know, very quick prediction. I think the Knicks take care of this in about five or six games.
Five?
It doesn't go to seven.
Whoa. I think five so games?
Can I tell you why?
I'm excited to hear it, man.
I think the best chance that Philly has to win a game is today, just coming having the Knicks come off a big break. But the way that the Knicks have played against them this year, the way that you've seen Embiid come back from the injury, and just also to see how Maxey has kind of played recently, the Knicks are far and away the better team. So, you know, I do feel confident. I'm going to put it out there. I have a prediction for pickleball, but okay. I just want to shout you out. You know, I've called you a number of times. We had a lot of GOAT talk. I want to give LeBron his props for the year that he's had. After the call, I'm curious to hear your prediction for that series. I'm curious to see how what's going on with Michael Porter Jr.'s brother affects Denver's play potentially. But I think Denver will take that series. For pickleball, I know that you worked with Dave for a long, long time. So here's my prediction, okay? I think Dave and this is thoughtful. Dave and Anita balance each other out, right? Anita's got the skill. Dave's got that drive and that crazy. Unless Dave is the best actor in the world, he seems like an insane human being, right? So I think it comes down to Armani and Rick. And I think between the two professional athletes, I would count on Rick being able to be better at another sport than Armani. I think these NFL guys are so specialized. Like, I've seen NFL guys that can't swing a baseball bat. But I think Rick can kind of handle all the sports.
We saw C.J. Stroud not be able to throw up a baseball.
That's what I'm saying. These guys sometimes, like, they'll fool you. You think they're the best athlete in the world, but they can't even throw a baseball. You know, they can't do anything but catch a football and run real fast. So that's my prediction. What you think?
I love the breakdown, Javier. Appreciate the call. I don't know that, you know, Dave being crazy and, like, deranged, like, that doesn't always translate positively. Like, that's not always something you can look at and say, this is going to work from an athletic standpoint because of how crazy a person is. It's just like when, you know, you talk about fighting somebody. Oh, this guy screams all the time, and he rants, and he's nuts. That doesn't mean he could fight. It just means that he could scream. So I don't know if that necessarily translates into positive results. I've never seen any of them play pickleball, so I'm just judging by, you know, what I'm really rooting my prediction just in what I'm rooting for. And that's, I'm rooting for Anita and Armani to win. Stop calling that man Armani. Yeah, his name is Armani Toomer. I'm rooting for Anita and Armani to win this thing just because I think that creates, like, the biggest amount of buzz, the best entertainment value is produced by them winning this matchup as opposed to Dave and Rick winning it. Tommy's in Connecticut. What's up, Tommy?
Hi, how are you? I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the Rangers.
Yeah, I want to hear from the Ranger fan. I know tomorrow will be – I'm going to be on from 8 a.m. To noon tomorrow, so we'll get a chance to hear more from the Ranger fans. But, Tommy, what's up, right, bro? What you got?
3, I think, right?
Yeah, game's at 3 tomorrow.
Nice. So, I know you're tuned into the city. You know how, you know, playoff hockey, you know, registers. But I really want to talk, you know, I don't think he's the most important player, but do you think if they make a cup run, Chris Kreider's number is going to get lifted to rafters?
A cut, like if they win the Stanley Cup?
Well, I don't know. Even if they just get there, because they brought him up out of college. I think it was the first year. I think it was 14. Might have been earlier than that. But this guy's climbing, like, all the record books as far as the, you know, the franchise goes. I think he's got a chance to get his number retired. I think 20 might not be worn again.
Look, I appreciate the call, Tommy. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm some, you know, hockey aficionado as far as the criteria for a guy getting his number retired. What I will say is, you know, since, watching the Rangers, you know, since he's been here, yes, he's been incredible, right? Like he had the historic season a couple of years ago with goals scored, and he keeps climbing the charts as far as, like, the production he's provided. And a deep playoff run could go a long way into determining whether or not, you know, you get anointed as one of the all-time greats in franchise history and getting that jersey retired. But I think it will be predicated on you having team success in the postseason. You know, the Rangers keep knocking on the door, but unless they find a way to get it done, it's going to be hard to sit here and make a legitimate case that anyone's deserving of it. But again, I preface it in saying I'm not the aficionado that would be able to weigh in on something like that. I would imagine that it'll definitely be a conversation, certainly if they win the whole thing and he's a big part of it. And you would have to imagine that if they do win it all, Chris Kreider would be a big part of it. I'm excited for this series, though. This first round feels like a bye. I know hockey's different. You don't look past any opponent. Look at the Bruins last year setting all these records, then they get bounced in round one. But, I mean, the Capitals barely made the playoffs. They got a negative goal differential. The Rangers, I think, to their credit, kept their foot on the gas, prioritized getting the one seed, and that'll do them well coming in with rhythm, not having, you know, been resting and waiting for the playoffs. So I'm looking forward to it, and it all gets started tomorrow. Coming up next, we holler at Monica McNutt. She's going to help us break down Knicks and Sixers right here on 98.7 ESPN. Tomorrow, the Rangers are in action, and I'm excited because playoff hockey is always awesome. I had a ginormous mistake a couple of weeks ago where I went through, like, you know, what's the best postseason? And I didn't include hockey, and it wasn't because I was slighting hockey. It was, you know, I had derived this question from a topic First Take had, and they were talking about, you know, college basketball, March Madness, and baseball. And I was just mystified because it was, I want to say it was Kendrick Perkins and Dan Orlovsky. And I just found it interesting how a former basketball player and a former NFL player chose college basketball and baseball as their best postseasons. So those were the four sports I was thinking about, and then I was neglecting hockey, not because I was trying to be disrespectful. It's just like in that moment as I'm watching the video, it wasn't on my mind, but hockey's definitely, you know, one of the best sports when it comes to the postseason. It's so much anxiety. It's not a sport where you can really predict who's going to win just coming into a series based on what happened in the regular season. As I mentioned, the Bruins last year, who had the Rangers losing in the first round to the Devils. So it's the unpredictability, how fast-paced it is, goals at a premium. So, you know, everything just heightens as far as, like, the magnitude of the entirety of the moment. So I'm looking forward to this series. And the Rangers, a lot of pressure. So we'll be able to, you know, do more of a deeper dive into that. Rangers being the top seed, the amount of pressure facing them when that series with the Washington Capitals begins tomorrow. Pregame coverage 2:30. Face-off set for 3 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. I wanted to quickly update you on the Mets. So I mentioned they are in LA taking on the Dodgers. Had a nice win yesterday. Shout out to Francisco Lindor. Mets defense tried to give it away, but they were able to overcome that. They've now won 11 of 14 games since that 0-5 start. The only thing that was a negative last night was Francisco Alvarez went down with a thumb injury, and it was announced today that he's being placed on the 15-day IL. So that's a bit of a blow to a Mets team that, it's been an impressive run, but we all know they're not expected to make the playoffs. I predicted they were going to make the playoffs, but it's going to be tough, right? It's going to come down to the final weeks of the season. They're going to be battling for a wild card, and they're not the type of team that is set up that can withstand significant injuries. Like, their offense already has struggled. We've seen Lindor, hit the big home run last night, but their offense is not set up to withstand injuries, so this is a tough one. We'll see how long Alvarez is out for, but that's really the only negative. That's a nice win against the Dodgers. You get this win today and you take the series. I know the Dodgers haven't been great, but the Mets at 11-8 have played nothing but 500 teams. So for them to be three games above 500 at this point in the season, considering where they were when they started, you had the injury to Senga. Now Alvarez is down, still haven't gotten anything from J.D. Martinez, who was supposed to be here already, but is dealing with old age, we'll call it. You got to feel pretty good if you're a Met fan sitting here at 11-8. So they're 1-1 in the bottom of the second inning out at Dodger Stadium. The Yankees fell earlier to the Rays 2-0 after, a riveting win last night. Juan Soto, that is one of what we hope to be many Yankee moments this season. Hit that big three-run shot last night to give them the win. So the rubber match of that series will be played tomorrow afternoon. Yankees in the midst of a 7-game homestand. Got the Oakland A's coming to town next week. John Sterling, man, what do you say about John Sterling? He's a legend. He is a unique acquired taste, but not for Yankee fans. I mean, as far as his public approval rating, amongst the Yankee fan base, it was as high as can be. He's called so many big moments. He was a staple just in Yankee history, and it was awesome to see him get honored on the field today. I got a chance to listen to him do a half inning with Susan during the game today. So I wanted to send my well wishes to him and his family. God bless you, sir, in your retirement, rooting for you. And we're going to miss you. Going to miss you, of course, but I'm glad to see you go out on your own. And that's all you can ever ask for. Monica McNutt coming up next. With Ty Butler right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show. Ty Butler going with you until 5:30, leading you into game one of the Knicks and the Sixers. First round, I'm excited. It's been a long time coming. But we get a chance to have a fun conversation with Monica McNutt. You can watch her all over MSG Network. She does an excellent job on the pre and post. And, of course, she's going to be on the call this afternoon with Pat O'Keefe. She joins the show now. Monica, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, Ty. I am well. I'm excited for tonight.
Looking forward to it. I mean, listen, all I'm going to start off by saying is hopefully when you're on TV, no one's running across the camera shot causing you to, kick your feet out and have you all disturbed up there. That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate that. Sorry about the noise in the background, but your wish is my wish as well.
Nah, that was fun. That was a fun moment on TV there. As I mentioned at the top, you do a great job covering this team. So I did want to start off by giving you a shout out. It's just been awesome to see you all over Get Up, ESPN, First Take, and of course MSG. So let's start with the game today. As I'm getting ready for this show, the question popped into my mind. This win would be more important for who? Is it the Sixers or the Knicks?
Knicks, all day tie. It's going to be more important for the Knicks. Yes, they have home court advantage in this series, but I think they need to continue to play with confidence, and getting off on the right foot to me is going to be an indicator of hopefully things to come. We've watched this team through course of the season. When they get off to a slow start, you're usually in for an interesting night, despite them having a couple of plus 20-point comebacks to mark the season. But when they win first quarters, their winning percentage is so high. So I want to see them get after it in the first quarter and the first game of the series.
All right, so after watching the Sixers in that playing game against Miami, do you feel better or worse about the Knicks' chances in this series, or unchanged?
Unchanged for me. I think I felt like this Knicks team should be going in confident into the series regardless. Despite Joel Embiid's return, we already knew he wasn't at 100%. I am curious to see, because I said this when it looked like the matchups might be Sixers-Bucks. I do think Joel Embiid is in a different place in his life just in terms of all of the expectations, the desire to win. He's already won an MVP. And so I'm not actually going to put too much on that injury, because I would not be surprised if this is the year that we see him power through some things. Now, if he can't, that's going to be another story. But I just want the Knicks to continue to play the basketball that they've been playing down the stretch of the season, in which head coach Tom Thibodeau has repeatedly discussed rhythm going into the postseason. And I would say, even though I think we got some questions about where the scoring is going to come from consistently with this group, they have a strong rhythm. And so if they're willing to do it by committee in terms of who needs to support Jalen Brunson, that has worked so far. I expect to continue working in the postseason.
We're talking with Monica McKnight, and you just mentioned the rhythm. And it just, you know, brought me back to that ridiculous question or conversation people had last Sunday about whether or not the Knicks should just, you know, punt on the game and, you know, put themselves in position for a better matchup. What did you think about all that talk?
I personally thought the Indiana Pacers were their best matchup. So I get where the talk came from. But I don't agree on intentionally losing, right? And I think that 50-win mark time was important. It's the first time that this organization has had a 50-win season in better than a decade. And so that matters, too, when you look at the totality and the body of work. And so for that game to have to go into overtime, for Jalen to have to put on his heroics, to get good minutes out of your supporting cast, Dante DiVincenzo still shooting the three ball well. Again, the confidence and the rhythm that carries you into the postseason. It's nice to be entering the postseason off of a W.
All right, so let's look at what the Sixers present as far as the challenges. And obviously, a Joel Embiid reigning league MVP. Philly is 32-8 when he's played. Maxey's had a tremendous season. Oubre's come on strong for them this year. Great pickup. You know, Kyle Lowry's got the veteran leadership. He's a champion. What are some of the challenges outside of the obvious being Embiid that you think this Sixers team is going to pose for the Knicks throughout this series?
Well, when you talk about Tyrese Maxey, you obviously got to account for his speed, right? And the way that he's able to play off of Joel Embiid in particular. I think, too, an under-discussed element of this team is going to be Buddy Hield. And if he can get going from the three-point line and create some space for these Sixers to operate and cause the Knicks to have to scramble a little bit more defensively. So I immediately think about the speed that they can put out at their guards. And then their wings are actually pretty athletic, Ty. It's just a matter of who's in rhythm. Kelly Oubre, every time he goes to the rim, he's trying to get a body, right? He's willing to be tenacious and nasty on defense. He's one of the grittier players that Nick Nurse talks about in terms of giving the Sixers squad their some identity. A guy like Paul Reed, who is similar to Precious Achiuwa in terms of just being around the basketball, scrapping for rebounds, being willing to hustle. And, of course, Tobias Harris has the ability to get hot. And like you saw in their win versus Miami, you've got Nicholas Batum. And so they have a combination of veterans and athleticism that I think you have to have a healthy amount of respect for. And they like to score in the paint and like to score in transition. And so if you're the Knicks, it's not just Joel Embiid, no matter what percentage he's going to be at, because if he is limited, he's probably looking to be a little bit more of a facilitator. And so the Knicks are going to have to make the Sixers play consistent defense, get at their legs, and, of course, eliminate opportunities in the fast break.
Talking to Monica McKnight here on the Ty Butler Show. All right, so what is a realistic ceiling for the Knicks in these playoffs? Obviously, you know, Boston is head and shoulders above everyone. But how far do you think that this group, you know, amidst all the injuries and the kind of a roller coaster of a season they've had, how far can they actually go?
I feel like this is a setup question, Kyle. You're the second radio host that has asked me that. Did you predict Miami Heat getting to the finals last year?
No, I did not. I didn't.
So what are predictions? Hold on. The train people are yelling at me.
It's all good. We understand, and we appreciate you giving us the time, you know, fighting through all the people on the train and announcements and everything happening. So we're going to fight through it.
I appreciate you. So I actually had no idea these things were this loud, because goodness gracious, why is that so loud? But anyway, oh, my God.
What the Tips teach this team all year. We don't make excuses. We fight through it. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to fight through it. We're not going to complain about it.
100%. All right, but to your point, when it comes to predictions, like, I am not going to say that this team can't do anything, right? Like, as you look out over the NBA landscape, people will still argue that you need a second guy alongside Jalen Brunson. But do you? Like, we will see. I'm not willing to put a cap on this team. Yes, Boston's been head and shoulders above the rest. Yes, Denver have been head and shoulders above the rest. But you have to go out and play the basketball games. And I think, for me, the biggest thing that comes out of this season, no matter what happens in the postseason, is I think the New York Knicks, as an organization and a franchise that a big-time star or even someone that just fits the system and contribute with this roster would want to come to, it looks really, really good right now. It's a destination. And so am I saying this team's going to win the championship? No. But look, we got to play the game. We got to play the game.
Last one for you before we get out of here. Let's just look at the Western Conference. You know, Denver, reigning champions, Jokic, best player in the league. They are heavy favorites to come out the West. But I'll pose it to you this way. If the Nuggets don't win that conference, it'll be because this team beat them. Which team is that?
If the Nuggets don't come out of the West, it will be because it's got to be either the Clippers or the Mavs in my mind. And I am struggling to call that series in and of itself. But if the Clippers don't come out of the West, it'll be one of the teams out of that series that has posed the problem.
Well, appreciate you giving us time, Monica. I've been looking forward to doing this interview with you. As I said, it's been great watching you with your flavor, doing your thing, doing it for us, doing it for the culture all over MSG and ESPN. So have a great time pre and post game on MSG, and have a great call with Pat O'Keefe. Oh, before you get out of here, I need some ammunition. Alan Hahn's one of my good friends. Give me some ammo. Uh-huh. Give me something I could go at him with.
In terms of what? Like, what
just
do you mean?
Just so anything. Great. Something weird he does, like during breaks, or something I could make fun of him. Like, I just need something.
I mean, we always get on him for going into dad mode, but sometimes it can be really endearing and, like, kind of what you need. But he's quick to go into, like, dad mode, and you got to be like, bro, calm down.
Oh, so he's that old. He's that old dude who, you know, he's that old dude always trying to sum people.
Yeah, but not, like, in a negative way, but, like, that's one of the things. And, of course, you know, Han can get lost in the weeds. And sometimes he can be a little long-winded. He's a radio guy, so there's some things to consider.
There we go. Appreciate you, Eminem. Really, really appreciate you joining the show. Have a great call today.
No problem. Thanks, Ty. Next time, we'll try to do this with no train announcements.
All good. All good. Thank you so much. All right, that was Monica McNutt. Make sure you guys, you know, keep it locked here on the station. Her and Pat O'Keefe going to bring it to you, that firepower at 6 o'clock tip-off. So tune into that. But, of course, we're taking your phone calls next. 800-919-3776. Hit me on Twitter at Ty D. Butler, Instagram as well. Go until 5:30, leading you into pregame of the Knicks and the Sixers from the Garden. I can't wait. Right here on 98.7 ESPN.